kidding. No, Carly, you did a great job, but I have to say, I didn't know whether I should be singing or not, because Emily was singing and you were signing, and I didn't know whether I should have sang or not, so I just stayed quiet and enjoyed every bit of it. So you did a great job. Anybody still excited to be at church here? Huh? Yeah? I know that you might have a little bit more breathing room today, and I know that some of y'all may have had a long weekend with graduation, and some of y'all are excited because summer is almost here. I can smell Florida. All right. Some of y'all, I smell more than just Florida, okay? But I can smell Florida. I can picture going to the beach. I am excited. Summer is here. It's the best time of the year where bonfires and sun is out all night. So the sun's out almost all day and night, and you can enjoy some. Huh? I don't know. All right, let's move on. But you can enjoy some coffee on the porch late at night and just exciting time of the year. Summer, you got vacation Bible school coming, church camp coming up for our kids. All of these things happen this time. And then parents are able to relax. And some parents, though, are like, man, now the kids are at home all day long. And we will pray for you, and we are here for you. You know, there's plenty of things they can do here if you want them out of your hair a little bit. But I want to start today with just a question, and I've never started with this question. I don't think I ever will again, but it's just one question that you actually won't be able to answer until later on. But just real quick, the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Well, what's it? That would help, right? I mean, I could say, do you believe it? Meaning, do you believe that the sky is blue today? Yes or no? You can believe it or not. Do you believe it that the grass is green today? Yes or no? Do you believe it that Tom Brady certainly is a good and perfect gift sent from above, coming down from the Father of lights? You can believe it or you can't. Because I do. But you can believe it based off how you perceive it, how you receive it. And the question will actually take us to Genesis chapter 1. So if you're fairly new with the Bible, I'm making it real easy. Genesis chapter 1 should be one of the first pages you come to, and that's where I want to go today. And this is the question that we want to answer. Do we really believe it? Because this topic of what we're about to read is also very critical to your theology and very important on how you view yourself and how you view your neighbor. And if you don't really understand much about it, then you're not going to really understand God as good as you should or as well as you should. And until you come to terms with who you are and what you are, who has made you, what he has made you to do, then you're not going to be able to live in the fullness of life that Jesus came to offer. So, do you believe it? And the question is, do you believe that God truly created you in his image? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says this, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And look at verse 27. So God created man in his own image. Isn't it a beautiful picture here? In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So this question is, do you really believe that God created you in his image? And I'm not saying as far as God sitting up, you know, with two arms and two legs, chilling in a recliner, lazy boy, until the day that you and I face Him face to face. That's not what I mean by His image. His image is a holy, He is holy, majestic, He is perfect, He is righteous, He is merciful, He is just, He is gracious, He is loving, He is compassionate. You know, that's who God is. That makes Him up. He is spirit, as the Apostle John says. But here we are. We are created in His image. So what does that really mean? And I think until we come to terms with it, which I can't do it justice in just this few minutes that we have today, this could probably last us seriously the rest of the year if we were to really break down this one verse here, created in God's own image. But as John Piper made it very, very simple, he said, images are made to image. Images are made to image. So you were created by God to be an image here on the earth. What kind of image are you supposed to be? Well, you're supposed to be an image of Christ. You are to reflect who your Maker is. That is what your image should be. Your image, your life should be a life spent reflecting who God is. And there's many ways that you do it, and we don't have time to cover all of the ways that you can make God known, but I really want us to come to terms with who God is and why He has made us, and that we are actually made in His image and in His likeness. In His likeness means we are to be like Christ. We are to be holy, and we are to pursue righteousness. We are to be merciful and gracious and forgiving and compassionate, and we are to offer ourselves for the people and serve them and love them and give to them. So in His image, the Latin for this is Imago Dei. Imago Dei. If you've never spoken a foreign language, you're welcome. You can just start saying Imago Dei. I told somebody that this morning. They said, good day to you too. And that's not what it means. It means image of God, Imago Dei. It doesn't mean good day. Imago Dei, meaning the image of God. So here you are in 2019, and we all wonder what it is that we're here for. Well, something that we also have to understand very, very clearly about who God is, and this might actually shake your theology just a little bit, but I hope that you come to terms with it, is that as you were created in God's image, you were created to simply bring glory and honor to Him. You were created from Him, and you were created for Him. And the thing that might rattle our theology a little bit is that we believe that sometimes God is all about us. That He's all about my family, and He's all about my future, and He's all about my 401k, and He's all about my cancer, or He's all about my personal issues. And I got to tell you this, God loves you so much that He sent His only Son for you. God is for you. God is with you. But ultimately, God is for His name. His name. He is God. You are not. I am not. I am simply one of almost 8 billion people in the world. Some people have much more power, much more money, much more fame than others, but in the grand scheme of things, we are just one of about 8 billion or a little bit less than that, whatever it is today. God is who He is, who He is presently, who He always has been, and who He always will be. God is God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the great I Am, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ultimately, we have to understand that God has created you and me to be an image on this earth of who He is and share Him with the world. That's it. And we have to understand that God is all about Him. Yes, God is for you, and God will fight for you, and God will bless you, and God will restore you, and God will reconcile relationships, and God will make ways when there are no ways, and God will do things that we don't understand. But ultimately, we have to understand that God is not simply about us. So whenever prayers aren't answered, we can't get mad because, well, if He really loved me, He would answer it. If He really loved me, I wouldn't struggle with this. His ways are higher than your ways and my ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He is greater than we could ever imagine. So to understand who you are an image of God. Now, this is where we could go for months and months and months. What does that look like then in your life? Well, let's just go to Jesus as he was baptized. He came up out of the water. And if you remember the account of Jesus being baptized, there was a voice heard from heaven that said what? This is my son with whom I am well pleased. Let's understand what that statement is saying. That is not saying God the Father is saying, okay, now we're good. Now we're on good terms and now I'm pleased with you. You know, I wasn't pleased before. No, what he is saying there is because your image of who I am and what your image has been, I am well pleased, meaning I take great pleasure and you are pleasing me and you are bringing glory and honor to who I am. So in order to truly understand whether we are living as an image of God, we have to ask one simple question. This is something that if you tune me out the rest of the way, I hope that you don't. Maybe there's one more thing you could catch. But if there's only one thing that you take from this entire time, it is this one question. Is the life that you are living right now bringing honor and glory to your God? And is it pleasing Him? It's a one question, two part. One question, two part. Is your life right now, the way that you live, the way that you think, the way that you talk, the way that you watch, the things that you hear, are those things bringing honor and glory to Him? And are they pleasing Him? Because if they are not, then we are actually setting a poor image and poor example for the rest of the world to see. He said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He was the perfect image of God the Father. Therefore, he was delighting in who Jesus was and he was bringing glory and honor to his name. This is why we have to, as families, as parents, set a standard of holiness in our homes. We have to be careful in what our kids listen to and what they watch and what they read. We have to. I know it's just kind of easy to just let them do what they want, but we have to have a standard of holiness. And this is what I would say, that with no standard of holiness in our homes, it would actually be a poor understanding of who we are. Because if you understood who you were made in the image of God to bring glory and honor to His name and to love people around you. Then we may live differently, we may love differently, we may, you know, build the biblical barriers in our homes differently, we may see our neighbors differently, because here's the thing, as you were created in the image of God, look around this place, just look. So were they. And as you were made in the image of God, guess what? Those Facebook trolls, they were too. And as you were made in the image of God, guess what? People who are ripping families apart all over the world and killing people because of their faith in Christ, yes, they were also made in the image of God. Now, are they setting a poor image? Absolutely. Are they repenting of their sin and surrendering their heart and their lives to the one that gave it to them? No, they're not. But they were all made in the image of God, meaning that we can have a relationship with Him. So a few things that the image of God, and if we're to live in it, we have to understand. First of all, it's a relational life that you and I were created for. In the text, He said, let us. Well, who's us? It's the rest of the Godhead, the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. How can we break that down? I don't have time for that, and I don't have the mind for it either. All right? It's just God. All right? Some things you just say, yep, that's God. But God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were conversing. He said, let us make man in our own image. They were in relationship. They have been forever and ever, and they always will be. Just as you and I were created to live in relationship, not just with Him, but with fellow believers around us. You weren't meant to live alone. You weren't meant to fight the fight of faith alone. You weren't meant to go through the struggles of life alone. You were meant to have a relationship, not just with Him, but with Christian people who can speak life into your life, who can build you up, who can comfort your heart, who can hear you out when you are broken, who can point you to His Word and guide you down His ways. That's what you were created for. So the next time you think, I'm all alone, you're not telling yourself the truth. You were not created to be alone. You were created to live in relationship with Him and with people. Another thing that we have to understand is that we were created to have dominion and authority. He said, let them have dominion over all of the earth, over everything that creeps and every beast of the field. They're going to have power and authority over them. Because why do we have power and authority? You know, the evolution will try to argue that we have authority and power now because we have survived as the most fit of species. Can you imagine fighting a lion? Let me tell you how fit you are. You fit right up in his mouth. All right? That's what you would do. That's what I would do. We are not the most fit of species. Are you kidding me? And they're actually saying that there will be, within the next 2,200 years, another hybrid species of human beings. That there will be, they will be greater intellectually. And I'm just sorry, but if that's going to happen in my lifetime, I haven't seen any signs pointing in that direction because babies are still crying like they always have. Maybe more now. Babies are still pooping the same way. All right, they aren't wiping themselves yet. They still need moms and dads and guardians to lift them up and to teach them how to walk and do all these things. They've been doing the same thing because we have been made in God's image since the beginning of mankind, from the days of Adam and Eve till now and forever. We will always be in his image. So we didn't evolve into this incredible species to where we have power over everything now. No, no, no. God ordained it that way. Therefore, we have the authority. And some of the things that we allow to completely affect us and wreck our lives are things that we should have authority over. They say life is about 10% of things that happen to you and 90% of things, or 90% of how you respond to it. 10% of what happens to you and 90% of what you do about it. And Paul said to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And let's be honest, that is where the fight is, but that is also where we have the authority, is to control our mind. We control what we hear, what we watch, how we think, what we read, who we hang out with. We have to control those things in order to transform our minds to thinking new ways so that neural pathways could be created so that we could eventually think differently and live differently. We have the power and authority to control those things. And sometimes we say, well, it's just out of my control. No, it's not. Most of what you do in your life is within your control. Not everything. Life will throw you things and God will allow some things to happen. But the way that you respond, the way that you treat people, the way that you talk, the way that you kind of give them life, or the way that you talk about them, those things are under your control. And you are to have authority because God has created you with authority. We do not have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. Therefore, we have authority. Another thing that you have to live this life with is creativity. If you've never thought that God was creative, you need to look outside. God is creative. God created the heavens and the earth, and he gave us mountain ranges and beautiful green pastures and lakes and oceans and all of this beauty. I mean, if you want to just really sit in the peace of God, just go sit in the woods or sit on the ocean and just think of all that he has created and the beauty around you and all of his creativity. But the thing is that God created trees. But because of creative minds that you and I have dug into and people before us have dug into that God has created us with, we now have turned trees into tables, and we have turned trees into chairs, and we have turned the precious metals of this earth into vehicles and into buildings and into mighty things because we have been created to be a creative being, and we have a mind that can transform things because we have been created in the image of God, who took nothing and created everything. So we're to be creative, we're to be relational, and the next thing is that we are to be, and I don't want to just kind of puff your head up, but you are valuable. You are valuable. You know, the world wants us to live in one way, all about us, right? I mean, go to Burger King, you can what? Have it your way. You can go to Subway and you can order it however you want. Or the old Pepsi saying was, live for today. Just do everything for you. And the world is wanting to remove us from this idea that we were actually created to bring glory and honor to the name of our Creator. And the world wants us, and the tactics of our enemy is wanting to remind us that this is all about us and feed us the lies to live for ourselves, because it's all about how you feel. It's all about what you want. It's all about how you want to live and how you want to spend your time and how you spend your money and how you talk to people. It's all about you. And the danger of living all about you is that you fall into this thing called the comparison trap, to where you're living all about you, but you saw on Instagram that they went and they stayed in an all-inclusive resort, and I barely had enough to stay at the Holiday Inn. And then you start to compare yourself with other people because it's all about me. Why don't I have what they have? Why don't I have the money they have? Why don't I drive the vehicle they have? And all the time, you're constantly pushing yourself down because of what other people have that you don't. So if you were to understand that I was not created to live for me, I was created to bring Him glory, then you wouldn't care so much about what other people have that you don't have. Because what you may have that they may not have is the old saying that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. And you may have the Spirit of God that lives within you, and you may have this eternal gift of salvation that comes from Christ Jesus and Him alone that they may not have. So what they may have for a minute, they won't have forever. And what you have right now, they will never see, they will never experience, and you will live in His glorious riches forever and ever and ever. Why? Because you were created in His image, and you are setting an image here on this earth to reflect Him. You know, the psalm says, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Can I just tell you that you were not created on accident. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. And people might tell you that you aren't smart enough. People might say that you're not qualified enough. People might say that you're not pretty enough. People might say that you don't have the money to do it, or you don't have the brains to do it, or how could anyone ever come from that town or that family tree? But I'm telling you that you were not created on accident. God does not make accidents. You were created in His image. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. What do we see in that? Well, we see two things in that passage, Psalm 139. I think it's verse 16 or 13 through 16. But in there you see that you were fearfully and you were wonderfully made. Fearfully meaning I am living in reverence of who has created me. Meaning I am not the one that has created myself. I am living in reverence of who has created me. Therefore, my God should be above myself. He should be above all things. I will live in submission because I was fearfully made. I am in reverence of who He is. And then it goes on to say, wonderfully. So you see a word of reverence and you see a word of reflection. I was wonderfully made, meaning you're full of wonder that the world is waiting to see. But we can never truly see how wonderful we have been made until we know who has first made us. Until you dig into the abilities that God has given you that you have never even known. You'll never experience the fullness of life that He has called you to until you truly submit to Him as Lord and King and submit your ways to His ways and your will to His will. You will never see the life that God has called you to live and the desires that He has for you and the plans that He has for you. So the question, do you believe it? Do you believe that you were created in His image? The reason I ask that is because I feel like far too often in today's world, we're seeing people reach ages and wonder, what am I even here for? What am I even here for? What's the point of continuing on? What is the point of fighting when I'm exhausted? What is the point of loving when I am broken? What is the point of continuing to serve when I have received nothing in return? What is the point? What is my purpose? Well, simply you were to live in reverence and a reflection of God our Father. That's what you're here for. That's what I'm here for. And you know, it sounds crazy, but eventually And I don't know how soon or how long, eventually someone else will preach at Pleasant Hill Christian Church. Some of y'all are saying, yes, please. One day, Lord. I'm serious. One day it will happen. And if I live my life just to build a bigger church, then I missed it. If I live my life to build a greater following on social media and build a church where people want to hear me preach, then I've completely missed it. Yeah, that may boast you up a little bit and that may encourage you for a little while, but ultimately you're going to find that your purpose of life is not in line with the purpose of life that God, the Creator, has for you. So if I build my life off of what I can do here or the family that I can build or the wealth that I can build, then we are going to find that we have actually missed it. You were created to bring glory and honor to your Father. And you were created to be a reflection of Him. However, this was spoken before the fall of man. This was spoken in Genesis chapter 1. And we all know that Genesis chapter 3, thank you, Eve. It was Eve's fault. It was Eve's fault. But in Genesis chapter 3, we read about the fall of man, in which they ate from the tree that they were not supposed to eat from. Then they recognized they were naked. They made the bit of clothes out of leaves, and they hid from God in the garden. And since then, we have lived in this cycle of sin and brokenness, and we see disease and all of this. And here we are, depending on certain numbers, roughly 6,000 or more years later, living in this brokenness. And I would be a liar if I told you that my life was all about God's glory. Do I live for God's glory at times? Yeah, absolutely. Do I live for myself at times? Yeah, absolutely. Do I sin and kind of smack him in the face sometimes? Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, you don't have to point the finger at me and judge me, because I would say that just as I fall short of bringing him glory and honor in all of my life and pleasing him all of the time, I would say that you would also fall short in one way or another. So as he spoke this, then they sinned, and here we are now. We can never truly live perfectly in God's own image. That is why Jesus Christ came down from glory to give himself up on a cross, so that he who knew no sin could become sin, so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. We have to ask ourselves this one question today, and you can ask yourself right now, you can ask yourself on the way home, you can evaluate, you can weigh it out with the things that you do, or the way that you talk, or the love that you give, or the love that you don't give. And this is the one thing that I really want us to understand. I want us to ask ourselves right now, and I want us to build upon this one question, because we've built the foundation of this entire life that I live, that I thought was about me and my last name and building my reputation. It is all for his glory. It is all for his name. So since we've gotten that cleared out, that I was created from him and I was created for him, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of image am I setting? And the question we have to build ourselves on is this: does my life bring honor and glory to my God? Does my life please my Father? Jesus came out of the water and out from heaven. This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. If we were to project our lives on the screen above here, or the screens on the sides, would God be screaming out, "This is my Son," or "This is my daughter, with whom I am well pleased"? What kind of image are you living? And you may fool all of us in this church, and I might fool all of you in this church, but there is one that knows exactly who we are all of the time. So what I wanted to do today, as we close in prayer and as we worship his holy name because of who he is, I want us truly ask ourselves that question. The life that I am living right now, is it bringing honor and glory to my God? The life that I am living right now, is it pleasing Him? Or am I living in sin? Am I living in brokenness? I was created in His image, not in the world. And this is what I would ask you to do. I would ask you not to leave this church until you have called upon the name of Jesus Christ in prayer and repented of your sin, asking Him to forgive you, turning away from your sin, turning away from the way that you once live, and then pursue the life that He has called you to live in holiness and righteousness, and live your life setting a good image, being the image of God and the reflection to the world around you. And as we sing one last song, I want you to be real with yourself, because I'll be real with you that there are times where I'm far from the image of my Creator. And there are things that I need to repent of as well. There are things that I need God to forgive me of that will keep me from living the life that He has called me to live. So as we sing this last song, I want to invite you, if you are here and you would say, my life is not bringing Him honor and glory, my life is not pleasing to Him, I would ask and invite you to come up to this step and join me in asking our Lord to forgive us of our sin and of our wicked ways as we repent of our sin and turn from them and turn to Him. And if you would, join me in prayer right now. Father, we just